Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday morning recap. It is 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet with us or against us. Get off the couch and get into the action today. It's Thanksgiving. Lot to bet on this week. Go to MyBookie.com. Use that promo code DRINKINGBROS to get you up to $1,000. What'd you name the show today, just out of curiosity?
Goodbye, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a sad... farewell for those guys. Goodbye to Hendon Hooker, future bets, all of it. I was watching that game, and I felt bad for him because that field was dog shit. I mean, it looked like he just tripped over in a desert.
Oh, you felt bad for Hooker?
Hooker, yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, look, they had a great season,
no.
And then it all just went down the fucking...
And then they just couldn't stop one of the worst offenses in the SEC. Yeah.
Never seen anything like
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely gashed by a terrible...
By Spencer Rattler.
But the best part is, and this is really why it's wonderful, the entire... So Michigan and TCU both played at 11 in the morning, mm-hmm. right? Both had close calls, very close calls.
Whoa. I mean, let's... Should they have either team have won those games?
Michigan, in particular, with what they were doing at the end of the game, throwing the ball when they didn't need to into coverage and shit like that.
That was a real Shanahan move. I don't know what the fuck
that
was
insane.
There.
TCU, yeah. They played a tough road game, and you know they won a tight
we
game.
We said there, Baylor would be tough, but the way that they won that game, they run the ball to get on the other hash mark, and the fucking I've never seen a field goal team come out.
That
and
was
do,
incredible.
I've never seen something like that
big
in my entire
by
life.
Sonny Dykes.
Hang on. So this one, like, I'll let him off the hook on this one because they asked him at the end of the game. They were like, "Why did you do that? Because that's dumb. You don't have any timeouts left, and then you had to run out." And he goes, "Every Thursday we practice this, and then you run on the field, no time left, and then the kicker kicks it." Now, even back to my high school days. That is exactly the last play you do on a Thursday night. Dead serious. Mm-hmm. So that is a real play, and you do it. However,
kicker can't get in his own head.
Yes.
That's the best part of it.
Especially
if the other team doesn't have timeouts.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
but
a great move.
It doesn't work that often because everybody's so rushed that usually alignment is out of
bad
place.
Bad snap or
bad kick because you're not marked off properly. And so, yeah, even though you do that play every Thursday at the end of practice, it sucks, and it's very hard to pull off. The fact that you would trust...
That's the only time I've ever seen any college football team try it in a meaningful game, and it worked. So that's science. It always works. Right? That's how it works. My data set is only one, but it's 100%.
It works.
So the great part about that is Tennessee fans spent all morning on Twitter and on Reddit...
Talking shit.
Being like, we are so obviously better than TCU and Michigan. They do not deserve to be in the playoff over us. These teams are dog shit. Their schedules are dog shit.
Yep.
Did you see that? Even sweeter than that, though, is that fucking Baylor fan who was trying to record them. Like, she was like, "We're getting ready to storm the field," and then you see like her entire demeanor changes. She goes, "Oh no!" Just beautiful. That's better than winning money for me. Although I did win money on that game, better than winning money is seeing that happen.
So I'm one of those people. Watched those two games, had the exact same feeling. Fuck TCU, fuck Michigan. They don't deserve to be here.
Mm.
Then
Ohio State.
Then
has
it happens
a close
to
call.
Georgia. Georgia was 6-0.
Right. You chirped at me in the comments on Facebook
sure
about
did.
This. Georgia, unlike Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU, yeah, they did not have an impressive game, but they were in control the entire time.
Also,
there was never
to
a
prove.
Threat of Kentucky. Even
they were
like
never
scoring,
even
really.
Close to losing
and,
that.
It was 9-0 at halftime.
Yeah, I know, but, Georgia isn't in Ohio State and Michigan cannot say this. Georgia is not in any need of any style points.
No.
That's true. Well, not Ohio State, not either.
Ohio State,
if they win out, they're in.
Yeah, but they haven't played anybody, and they won't until next week, or this week, I guess.
Well, right? Watch out for Notre Dame. So, quietly, they're moving
Notre
up
Dame's
the
legit.
Rankings.
No, Notre
they're
Dame's
moving
legit.
Up
they're
the rankings
now, but they weren't then.
And what if they beat USC?
Doesn't mean anything. They have three losses.
I understand that, but still, they'll vault into the top 10, and that looks like a massive win.
They lost to Stanford, and they lost to Marshall.
I understand that.
Well, there's bigger...
But they could end up in the top 10.
There's bigger implications if they beat...
USC
and that's that one of these other teams, probably LSU, if they beat Georgia, goes into the
CFP. If LSU beats Georgia, they're in regardless.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. But here's the thing, right? You know who's just kind of hovering around?
Fucking Clemson. And Oregon.
Yeah.
Clemson. It's not Oregon. It's Clemson.
Clemson and Oregon are hovering
right
now. I had
forgot about Clemson altogether until that text, until you sent it.
Oregon,
like,
Oregon
oh
can
God.
Still yeah. win the fucking Pac-12. If they win the Pac-12, they got just as good a shot as Clemson or these other teams.
Mm. Better schedule, I guess. But
certainly.
I'll say this. If Oregon beats a one-loss USC in the Pac-12 championship, maybe. If Oregon beats a two-loss USC in the Pac-12 championship, I don't think so.
USC did a good job holding on in that game, though. I didn't think they were going to win that game.
That was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great actually, game. DTR impressed me wildly because he was playing with, like, he had, like, so many broken fingers.
Yeah, and,
like,
no shit.
He couldn't really hold
his
on
whole
to the
hand
ball.
Is taped together.
So he's just like, I'm going to run every time. And they're not going to stop.
Wins that was
win,
a
brother.
Blast of a game. I bet
DTR
that game.
Lost. The quarterback for UCLA.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
But actually, I had two wins on Saturday. That was it because that was 2.5, and I took USC in that game. With USC, one, I think that's the best quarterback in the country in Caleb Williams. I definitely don't want to play him in the playoffs or this offense. The defense is Alex Grinch, who was the former Ohio State defensive coordinator who fucking sucked. So he got fired there, went back to Oklahoma.
They also hated him.
Yes. And Lincoln Riley was
stuck.
He
hasn't really been liked since Wazoo.
Well, he's terrible, right? Because
he was good at Washington State.
Every team is putting up 40 points on these guys. So I want to ask you about the Pac-12 in particular. What happens if these guys get in and go up against a Georgia? So let's say Georgia wins out like we expect. Ohio State more than likely now with the injuries due to Michigan. Because I think Corum is probably going to be out for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got TCU, right, at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if 4 is USC, how would USC do against Georgia with that offense?
USC's got the dudes. I mean, they have talent. It's not like it's going to be night and day, the talent disparity between
Georgia
and
athletically.
It's going to come down to coaching, right? Ultimately. I mean, Georgia beat
Georgia
beat Oregon 49-3 in week one.
But USC's problem is they don't have the offensive and defensive lines that Georgia does.
And that shows up immediately and throughout the entire game.
But what they can do, and this is what they, because UCLA's got a pretty decent defense too, what they can do is keep offensive pressure on you all the time and wear your defense out. And I don't know if they can do that to Georgia, right? You can't have a bunch of three and outs. So that means you got to be able to run the ball or at least throw short passes to keep the clock going and keep possession of the ball. But if, I come on, man. Nobody can beat Georgia.
I don't know, man. This is the second game now where they've looked shitty against a shitty SEC team where they haven't scored 20 points.
Yeah.
And all of the Georgia fans, especially in Drinker Bros Sports, have bitched about this guy all year, Stetson Bennett, and how he's just not the dude offensively.
Why are they he should never have to pay for a drink in
he's 11-0
Athens ever again.
Right.
After a 13-0 season last year.
He just won him a natty.
Yeah.
Like, what are they?
What do you want, man?
Good Lord.
I mean,
he's
going to
win
a
second natty.
He's also not the guy that calls the plays. So Georgia, Kirby is not just his namesake, but he is actually a very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He knows what position he's in at this point in the season. They don't need any style points. All they have to do is fucking knock people off.
They were well aware that Kentucky couldn't score on them at all.
Ever.
They were in control the whole game.
When did they actually score the 6 points? I didn't see it.
So I had a Georgia fans fourth quarter. Georgia,
it was
16-6, guys. I'm looking at the stats here. Stetson Bennett. So whatever Georgia fan was bitching about, 13-for-19 for 116 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. That was his line.
So
against the Kentucky team that is not very good. They're 6-5.
Their defense is always good.
Their defense is good, and also they only. He didn't have to throw the ball very much. Mm-hmm. Look at they only had him throw 19
in
times.
A hostile SEC environment on the road. Whatever, you get the job done. What are we complaining about? Georgia has like no one's really going to challenge Georgia.
I don't know, dude. After this game, I feel differently. I think Caleb Williams, if he gets in at 4, if USC gets in there at 4, only him, by the way. I think the rest of these teams. I think Clemson is fucked.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Oregon would be awful.
If we I would love.
I would love to see
and
Caleb,
I would love to
the,
see
the best quarterback in the nation going up against the best defense.
So it's gonna be probably right. Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, and maybe USC if they get into that last spot.
I don't know. You got to beat Michigan first. You know,
Michigan's got some injury problems, and we saw what happened Saturday. They lost their running back, and then we found out, like I've said all year, they don't have a quarterback. They don't have any wide receivers. That spread opened up last night at -10. I got it today at -7.5. I went all in. Dropped $5K on it. Oh, we'll get to that later on.
They didn't have a quarterback last year.
Yeah.
They did not, but they had a really fucking great defense.
Yeah. And the concerns about Ohio State, the concerns that you've had, which is that they don't have a running back now, well, they do. As Delco pointed out, every fucking running back they have is a five star. It took this dude about a quarter and a half of his first time ever playing college football to get going, and he fucking crushed it.
Is it
for the rest
weird
of the game.
That he's like my favorite running back on the team
awesome.
Now?
He looks like he's 65
shit.
Years old.
Yes.
He's
like dude, old. When he took off his helmet, I thought the same thing.
He's got like the black old man face. You can't tell how old he is. He could be 30, he could be 50.
35 years old.
No,
yeah,
he's
dude.
21.
No.
he's actually 19.
He's 18 years old. I don't think he's turned 19 yet. turns out, so he's the sixth string, and that's legit. The guy that they brought in beforehand was a backup linebacker that they converted. He got hurt as well.
Well, he finished with 27 carries and 146 yards and three touchdowns.
All in the second half. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was fucking incredible.
I
was very impressed with that guy. Now I don't give a shit if the others come back. Let this guy go.
Yeah.
I know.
Even if they do.
I also want you guys to play TCU in the playoff because I think that'd be hilarious if TCU knocked you off.
That would never happen in a million years.
It would just be so funny. That TCU team has been the craziest team
of all time. They probably should have three or four losses.
No.
Yep. They've won every game just exactly how they won the fucking last second kick. Go back through their schedule. It is nuts, dude.
They've covered more than that.
TCU has barely been pulling out these games.
They've beaten five ranked teams, and they also went to Baylor and beat Baylor at home, which is a very tough thing to do. This team has earned every fucking thing they've got.
They have.
They also went to
100% have.
Like, Duggan is not a good quarterback, but he's the quote-unquote gamer. So, he turns it on when he needs to.
But besides their wide receiver, I don't know anybody else who's going to the NFL from this
team.
Who
didn't play against Baylor. He was injured the entire game.
He didn't play,
Johnson,
right? Yeah. So, is he out for the rest of the year?
No.
That was my next question.
No, he's gonna play. He'll be back.
What is his injury? Do we know what that is?
Probably like some type of high ankle sprain.
Yeah, it was lower body. He'll probably skip this next game, too, because it's Iowa State. Who cares, right? It's at home. This is Iowa State at home.
And Ames, you might.
And then they're going to play, what, K-State?
K-State in the
It says it's still TBD.
Yeah, but
did they clinch or are they just in the driver's seat?
They're in the driver's seat. Okay. But
TCU is in the game.
They're beating Kansas.
Sure.
Yeah,
they're
not losing
Kansas.
To Kansas.
Yeah.
Who's their games left? They got Iowa State
and then the championship.
And then
the Saturday
K-State.
And then the championship. Yeah. Okay.
Right now it would be it's top two teams, right? So it would be K-State unless did K-State and Texas play this year?
Yeah, everybody plays everybody in the Big 12.
Okay, so who won that game?
Texas.
So if Texas wins and K-State loses, it'll be Texas because they're one game apart.
And that first
not in conference. I think K-State has one last conference loss, right?
They lost to Tulane.
Yeah, right now who's this last game against Texas?
Texas just lost to
K-State
TCU.
Is 8-3. Texas is 7-4.
Texas plays Baylor, so if they win that game in conference, they'll be 6-3. And if K-State loses their next game in conference, then they'll be 6-3 as well, and Texas will have the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker, okay.
Honestly,
but K-State's not losing to Kansas.
That's not a gimme.
It's at home.
It is at home. It's a rivalry game. It's not a gimme.
It's not a gimme.
It's a magical
for sure.
year for Kansas.
God, wouldn't that be something if Texas made it back into the fucking Big 12
and then they beat TCU?
That would be really fun.
And knock them out of the playoffs?
That's a nightmare scenario for
that's
TCU.
That's a very realistic possibility.
That's two games.
Yeah. That you do
and
not
the first
play,
game was close.
You don't want to play Texas again. I don't care where the game is.
No, because they, like, playing spoiler is a whole different kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the only opportunity Texas.
So K-State's 6-2, Texas
5-3.
5-3,
yeah. So if they...
You think K-State's going to win?
They're not losing.
As long
Kansas.
As they beat Kansas, it's over. Yeah,
they're not losing. Texas is it in Lawrence?
No, it's in Manhattan.
It's in Manhattan. Yeah,
they're in
the Little Apple. We'll find out.
And they could probably beat TCU.
Who?
K-State.
They could jump up. They're not a bad team.
No,
they're just
pretty
not
solid.
That, they're just whatever.
I'll tell you what really about the Michigan Illinois thing. Michigan's run defense looked like fucking shit.
Yeah.
Against Illinois, who cannot throw the ball. It's a one-dimensional team. They can only
put some
run.
Put respect on Tommy DeVito.
Nope, I will not.
Absolutely not.
Well, not. There's only one DeVito in my mind, and that's Danny.
Danny. Happy 76, Danny.
This was, you know, look, who knows? It's a let-me-down game for Michigan, so who the fuck? I don't know.
For everybody.
I don't know if you can really put a whole lot of weight onto this game.
The entire top seven struggled this week. Everybody
Illinois
was looking ahead.
Really solid. They were all playing for Bert, whose mom just passed away. So
fentanyl.
Yeah, probably.
Not always.
And also, we've been saying for weeks that it was a matchup problem for Michigan.
They're the same team.
That's exactly what
Michigan
bore out.
Michigan just has more talent.
Yeah. that it was going to be a slog. It was going to be close.
That just shows you how bad of a coach Harbaugh is, to be honest.
No, he's not a good coach.
He's so terrible. Fucking bad at
coaching. I've bet the house already.
Like, why is he still employed?
Because he's like still he's a top 10 to 15 coach in the country.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do better?
They're stuck. Yeah, they're stuck. I love it. They're fucking stuck.
I don't know,
it's
man.
The best.
You're the like third largest public school endowment in the country, and you can't afford to go buy somebody. Go buy no. Bill. You can offer enough money to somebody.
Yeah, but think about all those future recruits that aren't being aborted right now because of Jim Harbaugh.
Got some bad news too for Texas and Oklahoma here. So Sankey, Greg Sankey, head of the SEC, said over the weekend he thinks they're going to do away with the divisions, not do the quad for the new teams that come in, and then just do the top two ranked teams, and that will go play for the SEC
that's
championship.
What they should do.
Okay. That's fine.
Unless you're going to have a two-game playoff, what would the quads do? You know what I mean? Like
It just gives you, I mean, essentially they'll have like unofficial pods.
They'll have
because
to figure
you're
out
going
the
to have,
scheduling,
everyone's
yeah.
going to have at least two all-time. Like you play them every year. Like there's never going to be a year that Alabama doesn't play Tennessee
LSU
and Auburn and LSU. Like they're always going to play those three teams. Same with Florida, right? They're always going to play Tennessee, Georgia,
South Carolina.
So they'll be unofficial pods. Like you know, you can have like a team like Missouri, who no one cares about, who they'll be like, Mississippi, Arkansas.
They'll probably kick you out
and whatever. Yeah. Put us in the Big Ten West, so I can be a playoff contender every year.
Right.
Yeah.
But
well, now you're going to go up against USC and UCLA. You're fucked there, too.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
You got to go to the Big 12 now.
Big 10 West is so bad.
Big 12 is the only place to hide now.
No.
Yes, it is. You'll be hiding there for years,
no, you
my
can
friends.
Hide, you can hide
we're
in the ACC.
We're a basketball conference, so.
Dude, yeah.
Hide in the ACC.
There are some teams. Yeah, you could. There are some teams actually like Missouri and like, I don't know, call it Arkansas or a team like that who, because they don't have many rivals in the conference or many powerful rivals in the conference, there's going to be years where the schedule shakes out really nice for some of those teams.
But there's going to be some years where they play everybody that's good.
And you're
they'll probably just do the Arkansas-Texas thing. Oklahoma, like whatever the...
Arkansas is going to play their old Southwest.
Yeah,
old Southwest,
Texas A&M, all those guys. OU's, but if you're Texas or OU... How do you win in the SEC now?
Well, that's what I'm saying, that sometimes the schedule's going to shake out very nice for them. Because
there will be years where they don't play LSU or Alabama, maybe not Florida.
They might genuinely be years where they miss. This happened in the Big 12 all the time, where if you were in the Big 12 North, every once in a while you got lucky and you missed both Texas and Oklahoma in your cross division scheduling.
Got it.
That's how, by the way, Kansas in 2007, they didn't play either Texas or Oklahoma that year.
I remember that year,
Rob never
when they won 10 games, I think. That'll never happen again. Well, unless the schedule lays out that way.
And then they finally played a top five team, and they lost.
Started 5-0 this year.
But
looking promising.
Look.
Just relax.
Texas and Oklahoma, this is actually like not bad news for them, because there is going to be years where they miss Alabama, they miss Georgia, and maybe like they're not going to miss everybody, but maybe you get like a down LSU or a down Florida or something like that. Dude, that's great news. I think it's great news. Oof. I saw that and I was like, fuck yeah. There's going to be some awful years, but there's going to be some really
juicy
years.
Or is the SEC going to pull a power move and have an all SEC conference or a schedule, right? Because, like, just make the statement, we don't need to play anybody else.
So that's getting close as well, and they said they're leaning towards 9 or 10 games in the SEC,
that's
and then one out-of-conference game.
That's not much.
Big Ten is leaning towards that as well.
Especially if you're, the top teams in any division, I guess, but especially in the SEC, usually have the week before rivalry week is a fucking D2 school, and the first game of the season is a D2 school.
Alabama played Austin Peay this week.
Yeah. I know.
So
they didn't cover.
You're only going to get one of those now. Do you put it at the beginning or the end of the season?
You put it in the middle.
Also, Saban never covers against those schools.
Yeah.
He hates it. He's like, 50-point spread? No, we're not going to play anybody.
No.
Yeah. Was the most surprising outcome this week Georgia Tech, North Carolina? Because
that kind of sucked.
That was one of the worst performances I've seen, because Georgia Tech is legit terrible.
They're terrible. And May, that kid just went out the window. The Heisman dreams, all
there's no
way. He's got two more years.
Burned. I meant for this year, because before, I don't know if you saw the programming Saturday morning, they were like, why isn't he the favorite for the Heisman and everything else? and then the bottom dropped out. Yeah. It feels like nobody wants to win the Heisman Trophy this year.
Life comes at you fast.
Except for Caleb Williams at this point.
Like, can we just give it to Hendon?
Yeah, he's only going to miss one game.
Yeah, no.
He's only missing one Heisman game.
No. I know.
Well, one Heisman game, yeah. He's got an ACL. He's done.
I know. He had three touchdowns. He was putting up numbers before he got hurt.
He was doing fine.
And I thought maybe, you know, South Carolina keeps scoring. He's going to have to throw like seven touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not his fault. The defense sucks.
Yeah.
I still don't know. Stroud, they said, is still in the lead. I don't get it, man. What am I missing here? Like, he doesn't really have the numbers. I don't think he threw a touchdown last game.
He's padded a lot of numbers against, like, Indiana. He had five touchdowns.
You're right. But in the other games, like, did he throw a touchdown last game?
He had one.
To me, if you're going to put somebody from Ohio State up for the Heisman, it should be Marvin Harrison Jr. at this point. I don't really get it, but they've still got Stroud favored.
Caleb Williams beats Notre Dame, beats Oregon.
CJ Stroud is tied for the lead in touchdowns at 35.
He is.
But he's got five less picks than the guy that he's tied
but
with.
Caleb's going to win
those games. He had seven touchdowns.
Caleb keeps throwing for like 400 yards a game.
Yes.
So yeah, he's got about 500 more yards than CJ Stroud does.
Yeah.
He's going to win the Heisman.
The average is quite a bit lower.
If he wins the next two games.
No, it's about the same. Yeah.
Not next two, next one, right?
Yeah,
no, next one.
No, next two. And Stroud's got two more, too.
I think the vote, I know the ceremony's after, but I think the voting completes.
No, it's due Sunday after.
It is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the Sunday after. Now, Stroud's going up against Michigan. And then whoever's coming out of the Big Ten on that other side, and truthfully, I don't even fucking know because all those teams keep losing.
It's great.
I think it's going to be Iowa because somebody posted my timeline. They were like, Kirk will never fucking die, dude. He won't die and he'll just be there at the end.
That's actually kind of a rough game for Stroud if he wants to pad Heisman numbers.
Yeah, Iowa's got a good defense.
I guess it depends on what Harbaugh decides to do. How do you make the decision, we're not going to let CJ Stroud beat us? Or you're going to fucking be like, this fucking true freshman just ran for 160 fucking yards last week and three touchdowns.
I don't know if he's going to have a choice.
I would certainly say do it again to the freshman.
Yeah. But right? Also.
Well, that's what Ohio State's going to try to do for sure, out of the gate. But.
With the weather, this would be the fifth week in a row that they'll play in rain, and it's supposed to rain on Saturday again. So it might be up to the freshman again.
That favors Michigan in some ways. I know they're injured, but like that is a big plus for Michigan.
I don't know. They gave up a lot of yards on the ground last week to Illinois.
Illinois is a good running team.
Sure. They're a good running team. But Ohio State is a great running team.
Holy shit. That kid was lights out the last two
games. And Illinois's got a solid defense, so it's like.
Yeah.
We'll see. The Ohio State Michigan game is going to be incredible because it is a total. It's like last year. It's styles make fights. And these are two totally different teams. Yes. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not a repeat of last year.
NFL was fun this week.
It was a blast. The NFL was an absolute blast this week. Probably because I lost almost every game on Saturday and then won all of these on Sunday.
Does everyone
great.
Stink
in the NFL?
I think everyone stinks.
Nah, Chiefs are legit.
If 75% of
four teams.
If 75% of games end within one score, you got to expect sometimes things just
parity.
Aren't going to go your way.
Yeah. Too much
you know
parity.
What I mean?
Yeah. It does come down to like if it's that close, like it really
it's like two
it's
or three
a
plays.
Huge luck factor.
Two or three plays and then clock management and shit like that. That's why like the Cowboys smoked the Vikings yesterday and everybody's like, oh, they're fucking back. I guarantee you Mike McCarthy will lose them a game between now and the end of the season just with bad time management.
Might on Thursday. He might lose on Thursday.
I mean it's like three or four times a year this motherfucker.
Was there any
shit.
Doubt too the Chiefs are gonna win that game at the end?
No.
No.
Like, none.
They're gonna drive.
If you give him the ball,
Herbert's gonna get the ball back, he's gonna throw a pick.
I remember, so we were at that 2019 AFC Championship game where the Chiefs scored and then fucking Brady's got the ball back and he and I are just sitting there like, all these Chiefs fans are going crazy. I'm like, you guys are about to be real upset. But I feel more about Patrick Mahomes that I just confident if you give him a minute 30 and the ball, that it's over.
Some say 13 seconds is enough.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if you give him a legit 2-minute drill, there isn't a whole lot you can fucking do.
No, there's nothing you can do.
I feel more about him than any other person I've ever seen.
It's insane. You're just fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. And then Rodgers. I'm done. I'm all done with betting Green Bay this year. I apologize. I lost all the money on that Thursday night game against the Titans. Man, I hate watching this Titan teams play so much year after year.
But this is how it always goes. The Titans lose games they should win, and win game they should lose.
They're 7-3.
They're going to knock somebody off in the
playoffs.
7-3
and tied for the best record.
They're like Navy. That's who this team is.
Yeah,
they have this weird fucking run scheme.
Why'd you bring that up?
Well,
I know it stings.
Stinks because you lost. It was the only the second time they've beat a ranked FCS school.
You won't have to play
ever,
them soon,
yeah,
because it'll be you'll be in the fucking
yeah.
You'll
be in the Big 12.
The reason I want to go to the Big 12 is to avoid the academy.
You'll be a basketball school. But Aaron Rodgers, man, dude, it's we're all done. We're done with the Packers this year. I can't bet on these guys anymore.
We've been done.
They were horrific. And now Dan and I thought they were coming back, and this is going to be
still
a fun run.
I still think they'll make the playoffs. To be honest,
no,
nope. They're 4-7. You'd have to win out.
Yeah. No, they won't.
Yeah.
No.
4-7.
They have to win 6 in a row.
They'd have to win 6 in a row.
They don't have...
It's too far.
9-8 team will make the fucking playoffs.
No.
In the NFC?
Yeah. No.
They're out, man.
Because you got the Commanders coming up.
Sure
yeah,
do.
But they're all going to... All these fucking NFC East teams are going to start playing each other again soon. There's 2 weeks coming up soon where they all play each other, and that's going to fucking bring everybody back down closer to 500.
Here's what hurts the Packers is the NFC South, because all of those shitty teams are in there, and they're all going to beat each other the rest of the year.
Also,
it's
the West,
not going to affect the rest of these guys.
I mean, the West is going to have Seattle come out as a wild card.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, Seattle's going to win that division, probably.
Or then the 49ers.
49ers are in. Seattle's in.
But between they're tied.
Between the Commanders, the Cowboys, and the Giants, two of those teams
Philly,
are going to take spots.
But there's...
Philly's going to win.
Yeah. Division, yeah.
So, like, dude, yes, the Packers are out. They'd have to win out at this point, and they're not going to do it.
We'll see. Either way, I mean, that's sweet justice for Green Bay. To be honest, like
Tennessee is tied with the Bills. God damn.
I think it's gonna be really tough. What's their 6 playoff spots?
Yeah,
7.
The Packers organization and the Raiders organization have completely mismanaged their teams for years now, in ways it's just unforced error after unforced error. You bring in John Gruden and be like, all right, cool, man. I know you want to start your own team. How about let's not give up one of the most important defensive assets that exist in the NFL right now?
Right.
And that's fucking stupid.
That number one seed's the one that gets the bye. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they added that. Dude, it's at least with like the Raiders, they're just broadly incompetent. The fucking Packers at this point, they're like the fucking Angels.
They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, like they are just like cannot win with the best player in fucking baseball.
Well, the interesting thing about that is we talked about it last week. The chances of Derek Carr coming back to the Raiders next year are fucking slim. I can't imagine how they're going to make that work. And the reason Devontae Adams went over there is because he played in college with Derek Carr,
that's
right?
His homie.
So now you've got the most expensive motherfucker on earth at a premium position with nobody to throw to him. And the reason he came to the organization in the first place is because he wanted to hook back up with his old school buddy. So you got to either choose the coach or the quarterback. Who are they going to choose? If they choose the coach and Derek Carr leaves, Devontae Adams is going to start requesting trades.
Well, McDaniels is staying.
Right?
So
that's what they say.
Mark Davis said Rome wasn't built in a day.
Well, his haircut wasn't built in a day.
Sure wasn't.
But it's handcrafted. What happens when McDaniel's still there next year, Derek Carr's not, and Devontae Adams is pissed?
Jarrett Stidham error.
Then Jarrett Stidham is throwing
the
ball.
Yeah. See the backup? Yep.
Yeah.
I would give him a shot.
I just checked. I was seeing if they still had Matt McGloin.
No, they don't have McGloin anymore. I would give Jarrett Stidham a shot for sure. Why not? Over what do you have now?
Let's see who the free agents
are.
For
3-8? Who cares? Give him a shot.
Tom Brady's a free agent. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Jimmy G.
Go.
Oh,
God.
Baker to the Raiders.
No.
Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
Daniel Jones.
No. Nope.
Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph.
I bet the Jacoby Raiders Brissett. Franchise Daniel Jones.
I bet you they draft a quarterback.
The Giants?
The Raiders. I bet you they draft one in this draft. We'll swap on over to the Eagles here. I missed the last drive of this because I took my children's to see a movie, but I had the score on my phone because I've got a shit ton of parlays out there. I had Eagles at a pick'em in this one on the parlay. It was 16-10, and then there was a drive. You said Jalen Hurts ended up pulling that off in the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the story
the
with? Yeah. What's the story of the Eagles? Because I'm looking at it here. It was 17-16, and they had to come back and score 14 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. This is the second game in a row now. They've looked kind of wonky. What's the story there?
Just offense is out of sorts. Defense kind of showed up. It's out of sync.
Yeah, the defense looked good, but. Jalen Hurts was on. He was not throwing bad pass. Every fucking pass he threw was right on the fucking money.
When we drove, like AJ Brown fumbled.
Yeah,
like,
he fumbled
deep into the red zone.
Kelsey had a fucking overthrown snap that I mean, luckily Hurts saved it, but it cost him 13 yards on a big play during one of the last drive. I think
a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, but it was the receivers also weren't getting open. So maybe it's credit to the secondary of Indianapolis. They have a pretty good defense. But it, I mean, look, you grind it out, you win.
They're playing hard under Jeff Saturday, I'll say that. I mean, look, he's 1-1, and he could have easily won this game. So maybe they're playing hard for him. Who knows?
They don't have the Colts can't win, though, in big games. They just don't have the offense for it. They've got everything but the quarterback and a primetime wide receiver. It's Pittman's not it.
And then that Raiders game, that went into overtime against the Broncos, and he threw to Devontae Adams.
Why are we talking about these games?
Game. I'll tell you why. You got two of the most expensive quarterbacks that are now tied at a 3-7 record.
I know, you're just trying to, you just like dunking on
and
the Raiders.
And I think the over-under
the Broncos
this,
too, man. Blow over, that fucking team
apparently
up,
apparently, if the Broncos have scored more than 18 points in all their games, they'd be 9-1 right now.
Really? Because they scored 16 in this one.
Yeah. So their defense is like legit as hell. Yeah. But they just can't score.
They've always had a good defense.
But that's
always had a terrible.
That's
quarterback.
How it was between Elway and whenever they fucking got good again.
Might
with
as well
fucking
bring
Peyton
back
Manning,
Brockett
right?
ship. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Brock Osweiler.
But it used to be. You remember
Tim Tebow?
Denver used to be like fucking running back factory.
Yeah.
No matter who the fuck was there, they had two dudes usually.
Oh, dude, like no Sean Moreno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
That was the Mike Shanahan team.
They had like two dudes that would average 75 yards every single
Clinton
game.
Clinton Portis.
Melvin Gordon was decent.
Yeah. He was just too small guy.
He's all right. He's all right. They've always had running backs.
But
there.
I think
Terrell Davis.
Philip Lindsay was
3 year runner.
Davis was there at the same time as
I know, but I'm saying like he had like 3 years of just greatness
of like
and
1500 plus
else.
Yards yeah
yeah,
yeah.
I think the over under this game was 39.5 and they scored and they didn't even get that.
No,
that's
I'm so amped about this. I love seeing these two teams lose and these all this money going to these shitty quarterbacks. Enjoy it. I love it so much. Speaking of shitty quarterbacks, the shittiest here, Dak, ended up destroying the Vikings. What the fuck? I keep getting this skull bullshit in like every bet that I make against either one of the teams that might be playing the Vikings or whatever. I went back through this one guy's fucking feed who did it to me 18 times, and I wrote skull 18 times underneath every single comment that he's left me on every bet that I've lost
as
because
well
of this.
You should.
Yes. Fuck you. It was 40-3. Anybody out there who's a Vikings fan, it's still Kirk Cousins who's your fucking quarterback. You're not winning until he's out of there. So fuck off with the skull bullshit, the fucking horn. I don't care about any of it. Your best performance was January 6th when he stormed into the fucking Capitol. That was it. Other than that, you can take the skull bullshit and stuff it up your fucking ass. You lost 40-3 at home to Dak Prescott. Enjoy all of it.
By the way,
Dak's not terrible.
This is one of those games where we look back on the end of the season and you're like, you know, Dak was a top like third statistical quarterback, and you know if you don't look any deeper, you're like, look, I know you're saying this, but the numbers say, and it's because he just puts up like three of these games a year where he goes goddamn bananas,
22 for 25 in this game.
He only had 276 yards though. Let's calm it down.
But 22 for 25, and I mean they
how many
housed
touchdowns?
Him. Yeah, because they didn't even
two
play
touchdowns.
They didn't play him in the fourth quarter. They brought Cooper Rush in. That's how bad of a blowout this was. That they brought in Cooper Rush. It was 37-3, and they brought in Cooper Rush for the fourth quarter.
Yeah. By the way, Justin Jefferson he set the record for the most receiving yards in the first 3 years of a career, and there's still...
Did he really?
There's still six games left in the season. Now, you might be seeing an extra game last year and an extra game this year from 16, still four games ahead of the all-time pace.
Yep.
And who knows how many fucking yards. I think Jefferson might be the best receiver in the NFL.
We drafted Jalen Reagor.
You sure did.
Yeah. Congratulations.
You sure did, dude. Congratulations.
Shouts
well,
to
you
Howie.
You guys fucked up, too. You could have had fucking Ja'Marr Chase, right?
We could have had... So ours was CeeDee Lamb that year.
Oh, CeeDee Lamb,
the year
right.
that I lost my shit. Yeah. For you guys, I thought DeVonta Smith was great. You guys don't, you,
oh, no,
you don't use him
Smith's
enough.
Great.
Smith's great, yeah.
But you just don't use him enough, and it's strange, man.
He's making catches yesterday.
Yeah, he did yesterday. Yeah. I've got him in fantasy as a flex, but it's every other week, and that guy could be a superstar.
I think they use him as a wide out, and he would be more valuable as a flex.
Slot, yeah.
Or a slot, yeah. I mean, it's just like his size and speed.
AJ Brown's out there.
Use him like, AJ Brown is your fucking deep threat, though, right?
No, Watkins.
Yeah.
Or Quez Watkins. Yeah, that guy had some good catches this game. Right. No, he had some great catches in this game.
Had a touchdown.
Big ones.
He's, right. He's fine. Bengals are quietly moving back in the contention there.
Is a problem, though.
It is, yes. It is. And then the Chiefs obviously pulled that off. Tonight's game, which we are all betting on mybookie.com, promo code DRINKINGBROS. Doubles your deposit up to $1,000, features the 49ers against the Cardinals. I've already betting this one. So if you were in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook, I posted it Saturday night late sometime between drinks, whenever that was. So I've already taken this game. Who do you guys have here tonight? Kyler Murray is out. The spread has jumped.
Where do you see him as out? Because he's listed as questionable.
Yeah, he is out. And
so, Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy is starting, and the spread has jumped to minus 10. San Francisco minus 10 at Arizona with Kyler Murray out. The over-under is 43. D'Anthony, who do you got tonight?
I'll probably take the under.
Okay.
But what, Colt McCoy? You fucking kidding me?
You won last week.
I'm betting on it. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, this is in Mexico, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's in Mile High.
Oh, yeah.
Where game?
I think the elevation is 7,500 feet, which is like a mile and a half high. So Jesus. It's going to be a problem
for everyone.
Yeah. And like,
players hate it.
I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of high powered offense in a game like this.
Yeah. Their field is usually really shitty, too, down there. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Cardinals catching 10.
All right.
Yeah.
You're probably right about that. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Probably 3 points.
McCoy's going to be fine.
Bobby Thie, who do you got?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's 10 is... I don't like that line, but I'll take it. Whatever. Give me...
Arizona?
No, give me fucking San Francisco.
There you go.
Roll.
I love my bet even more then.
Yeah.
Before, that's a good point. But while he's good at picking the fucking dogs, not at
my money line.
He's not good against.
By the way, the past couple of weeks have been the salute to service weeks.
Yes.
For the NFL, where they pretend like they give a shit about our country.
Yeah.
And wear camo and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. We went to one of the games in D.C. It was
sure
fun.
Did. Yeah.
Now the Vikings. We're honoring veterans up on their Jumbotron.
I think they honored the proper veteran and the only veteran we could salute.
Yeah, could you pop that up?
Lieutenant Sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was click on the picture so it gets bigger.
Yeah. Wow.
There we go.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So
there it is.
That's Johnny Sins, who is a male porn star.
Sure is.
And apparently they just have a thing on Twitter where you just hash. It's like every other fucking sports game you've ever been to.
I've tried to do it, by the way, at every stadium I go to.
Yeah, you take a picture and then fucking put in a certain hashtag and it populates and they'll, some poor person. There's no way. So the people who vet these things, look into them and then post them, it happens very rapidly, but they're like,
very quick.
They're like 20 to 25 years old. They absolutely knew who that was.
Yeah.
There's not one fucking chance they didn't know who that was because it's a huge meme.
But Johnny has a mustache in that. Like that.
I'll throw it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it back up. He doesn't have a mustache.
That's the one with the mustache. He usually doesn't have a mustache.
That's just a shadow.
It's a shadow.
That's how close. Okay. That's how fucking chiseled his jawline
is.
Wow. Every shadow looks like a new fucking patch of hair.
Man. What a blessing.
But this is really funny. This is better than putting a real guy up there, to be honest, in my opinion, because it's just so goddamn funny.
Oh,
every veteran I know would love this.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we're all pieces of shit.
Did really well for them.
But they have no idea. And for it to happen in Minnesota with all the pearl clutching Scandinavians up there, like, oh, golly.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I bet they all just thought he was actually a veteran.
No, they probably still think that.
Yeah. They still think it.
Yeah. Jack Mandeville's parents were at this game. They still believe
that. They still believe. By the way, I might have just cursed Melvin Gordon. He just got waived by the Broncos right now.
Yeah, because he fumbles every game now.
That's what I heard.
You can't fumble in every game. You can fumble now and then, but not every game.
Sorry, Melvin. We'll switch on over to Qatar and the disaster that's going on over there. The U.S. men choked away another game and tied 1-1.
Got a point.
They were up the entire game. What did they score with 82 minutes?
Penalty.
82 in. Oh, it was a penalty shot?
Penalty kick.
Okay. Way to go, U.S. There is no booze over there. We talked about the armbands earlier that they're going to give a yellow flag for. You can buy booze now in the suites.
Yellow card.
I'm sorry.
You coach the sport.
Do.
Well, at a higher level than we're seeing here.
At a higher level.
How many of your kids get carded?
Yeah, they use flags.
They use flags. They don't get carded there. But with this, why is it here?
Because
all of
Qatar
this has been a
bribed
fucking
FIFA.
Mess.
There's literally a documentary on Netflix right now.
Tell everybody what it is, and
it's about how corrupt the organization FIFA is.
Yes,
it's been planned for like 10 years.
It has, and
at first they were trying to air condition the entire country.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we'll just do it in the winter.
We'll just do it in the winter, which sucks as well. With all of this that's going on, can they get away with it again is the question. Like, will somebody else get away with this?
Dude,
or is FIFA just going to keep going on?
2 years ago, a bunch of people from FIFA went to prison. Like, Interpol arrested them.
Yes.
And it just happened again.
I know.
So, yeah, they're going to get away with it again.
And let's not forget, the 2018 World Cup was in Russia.
Yeah.
So the last two...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then and the next one's in the United States.
One before that was Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, that's
Brazil was fine. Nobody bitched about Brazil.
A lot of people bitched about the stadium locations.
Yeah, and the fact that there were a bunch of like workers just like died and buried in the stadium.
That's what happens in Brazil.
It is. You got to break a few eggs to make a nice stadium.
But they
were
putting stadiums in the middle of jungles and you couldn't get to them.
There was one stadium that was not accessible by road. You had to fly there.
You had to fly.
Really?
Yeah, it was deep in the jungle.
Oh,
it was in a city that has no business existing.
Sure.
And of course they don't use those stadiums anymore. They are now returning to the earth.
Yeah, that's right. They're done.
Like
they get overgrown.
Some of my
and...
favorite photos are like the old Olympic or World Cup stadiums that they build, and then they just kind of get overgrown with
it. Just like literally just have
weeds.
Just you need to just switch between three countries constantly. Just have it just for people in different
time zones.
Just needs to be in the US, Europe, and then
Europe as a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the size of America.
Yeah, okay. Pick one of them.
And then like Japan?
Yeah, like Japan, basically.
Japan's
or
good.
Australia.
Someone that has the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Already built.
Yeah. Where is it coming the rest of the time? So US is next, right?
LA.
They're deciding on where the cities will be, but it'll be LA. They'll probably play in New York at the Red Bull Stadium. They'll probably play some in Florida.
Oh, I think they'll play at MetLife.
Maybe
capacity-wise.
Maybe,
it's gotta be.
Yeah. We'll see.
Maybe,
I mean, it's not all about capacity. It's also about what's around the city.
Yeah.
So it's not just about capacity.
Maybe Columbus.
Oh, that's right. I've been to that stadium. It's beautiful. It's huge. Yeah.
No.
They built a massive stadium there.
It's Ohio.
Save the crew.
Yeah, but it's one of those places though that's Midwest. Like they usually pick places all throughout. Yeah. Like I would be surprised if Austin didn't get one.
The national team
you.
Always plays in Columbus.
Right.
That's just Fortress Columbus. When they need a win, they go play in Columbus.
Most of the time, the World Cup is not held in a country that's geographically this size.
Right.
So. Like, if you go to France, you can have places all over the country, but it's 250 miles apart. Here, it's going to be 1,000 to 2,000 miles apart.
I mean, I would think the shoe-in cities would be LA, New York, Chicago.
Well, you guys are forgetting that it's also spread between Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, Jerry World. Jerry World is another one.
And so it's in North America, not the United States.
Yeah.
All right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it's not going to be in Canada. But Jerry World will
probably... There.
Canada's got a decent soccer team now.
Jerry World might. Mexico City, probably. But I doubt they're going to go anywhere other than Mexico City.
No, they have to play on grass. They won't let them play
on
turf.
They'll just put grass in. I went to a USA-Mexico game at the Alamo Dome a couple years ago, and they just brought grass in.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was one of the best sporting events I've ever been to in my life.
Dude, so all these games look fun. Qatar is the first time I've watched it on TV, and I'm like, man, that doesn't look fun at all.
No.
Like, nothing about
it's the country.
Well, that's because there's dudes in fucking robes yelling at you if you try to cheer for your team.
I know.
Yeah. It would have made way more sense if it was Dubai.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure Dubai also has the stadiums for this.
Dubai can make it in a day.
The other part of this is the largest sponsor... For the World Cup. Do you know who that is?
Budweiser.
No, Qatar.
Oh,
so every commercial break, it starts off with a tourism commercial for Qatar. They paid for this sponsorship.
So much like LIV, they're actually paying Fox to broadcast it.
The World Cup is?
Qatar.
Oh, Qatar is. Got you. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, see, this might be money not well spent. This is like a really bad advertisement for your country.
That's what I thought. So
everybody hates you. Nobody even knew what Qatar was a month ago, and now everybody in the Western world hates Qatar.
There has been like some big benefit to this that a lot of football fans are talking about, because a lot of people are protesting it or not watching it in some sort of sense. Qatar had sponsored migrant workers before, where they weren't sponsored by the state. They were sponsored by the corporations, which then kind of put people into this indentured servitude. That has thus been repealed, and there's a new sponsorship program there.
Qatar right now? What is happening?
I'm saying that the smallest like silver lining of a good thing, that like if there's change in the world in some way.
Essentially, like because they're hosting the World Cup, they were low-key forced to abolish their slave system.
Yes.
That they had already used to build the World Cup.
Yeah, that they will then start using again immediately
as soon as people stop paying attention.
So let's just dial it back a little bit on that.
Now, as far as ratings go, the ratings have been massive. Nobody, I guess, has cared. BBC got 8 million.
I've not watched a single game, nor will I.
I did on Sunday. I watched it. It was on the morning, so
it was kind of fun to see Qatar get their ass beat by Ecuador.
That's exactly why I turned it on.
I was not expecting that. I thought they would get every call.
Bob said this a couple times before, that this is the one time in your life that you might get the opportunity to just protest something that's legit.
Legit and costs you nothing.
Costs you nothing.
So, like, look, if a slave made this, I'm just kind of fucked. I need to use my iPhone. Nope. But there's no world in which I need to watch the World Cup.
Like, you don't like sports washing?
That's just pure laziness.
Okay.
Look, and I told you this on Softcore History last night. You're like, what? So you think I'm a bad person? And for me personally, it's more about the hypocrites who are watching the World Cup than, say, you, who I know doesn't care about slavery one way or the other.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I just want to gamble.
You've always been neutral on slavery.
Yeah.
I don't want to pick a side.
I get it.
It's the old north-south dilemma.
I want to bet on shit, too, dude. Yeah.
It's just straddling the Mason-Dixon line.
Well, no, but we're rooting for the slaves. Like, we're betting on the slaves, so it's like we're gambling on them. That's really funny. So, yeah, they're talking about it, saying Hollywood Reporter. All of these teams could have backed out if they wanted to. So could the U.S., and they're not going to do it. Nobody's going to do it.
But, I mean, keep that in mind the next time a U.S. soccer player, if they ever need – if anyone who played in this World Cup ever takes a knee for some shit – maybe remind them.
All right, Rob, we don't want to miss two straight World Cups. Okay. One was enough.
Well, we literally can't miss the next World Cup.
Yeah, we're the home
team.
No,
but this would have been our second straight if we sat out.
It would have.
Yeah, yeah,
look,
yeah.
We might have an early exit anyways after this choke job today. So.
No, we'll beat Iran.
Fucking knows.
And then,
will we?
Yeah.
We're not going to beat England.
No, but
we'll lose 3-1 probably to England.
Two teams get through. So we just got to put up some goals against Iran.
So who is in the U.S. bracket?
It's us, Iran, Wales and England. It's our group.
So England's in no matter what.
England's
but
in.
if Wales loses less to England and or
beats Iran,
wins
Iran,
Iran. Wins Iran better, like then we're
it'll
out.
Be gold
that would be that's what I want to see.
The
United States doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Like what a fucking absolute clown show the U.S. men's national team is, and all of U.S. soccer in general. And I don't, like the women's team wins from time to time, not so much
not lately,
we're but
doing
for a
the
while.
Right thing this time though. We got all young kids,
yeah, sure,
for their first ever World Cup. But, so it's nice. It's not. It's nice not having to like see the
Landon Donovan
or like Bradley, who was always the worst player on the field.
Yeah, but that's because his dad was the fucking coach.
Yeah.
And Michael Bradley was 23 when he was the fucking starting midfielder for the U.S. men's national team, and it was only because his dad was the goddamn coach.
He was awful.
He was terrible.
Terrible.
At least Clint Dempsey had some type of talent.
Yeah,
but it was
Dempsey was swag.
He always
thought he was
better than he was, and that's why he was able to play better. He had the
where did
rational
Donovan
confidence.
Play? Newcastle or some shit.
Everton. Landon Donovan had some good loans. He actually, I don't know if he ever was owned by Everton, but he had like two loan spells from the EPL over there where he did pretty well.
Tim Howard was also at Everton.
Clint Dempsey had a fire season at Fulham one year who kept them out of relegation. I think he scored like 18 goals in the Premier League or something like that. He like really went off. And
he was like a Seattle Sounder.
Yeah. I mean, Dempsey's always the type of dude. He's kind of the soccer player I love. Like he isn't necessarily like overly skilled or anything, but just has a fucking nose for the goal. Like that guy just fucking scores.
He's got a nose for that pussy too.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Sure but we does. Have like this team is interesting for the U.S. because Christian Pulisic is probably the best U.S. men's national team player ever.
Hershey,
like,
Pennsylvania.
Well, he may not even be the best, but he's the most European soccer style player that we've ever had, and really good at it too.
Like, he's had the most success at the highest level.
Yeah.
Like his time at Dortmund, and then he had like a half a season at Chelsea where he really came alive after COVID. The last couple seasons down a little bit, more of a bench player role, not really like a captain leader role that he has with the U.S. Actually, isn't the captain for this World Cup the team counted in the midfielder? I think Anderson's his name.
I don't know. He's 23. Whatever.
Yeah, they're around the same age. There's also this kid McKinney who plays for Juventus in the midfield. That's also pretty young. So all these guys have kind of known each other for quite some time, and they're all having success in their own right, which I think could lead to a a raised confidence in the U.S. team.
Now, Giorgio, you love soccer, but you hate the World Cup. Why?
Yes. So these players don't play together ever, Ross, and these coaches don't ever get time to really coach these players. And so it's just kind of this hodgepodge where they meet up once every 3 months. They play like two games, then they go back to their club. And I don't think this is the best representation of the sport. Also, I find...
You're saying it's like an all-star game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an all-star game, and everyone is very defensive because they don't want to lose in this tournament-style football. It's all about like, it's not, you don't have to win. It's all about making it to the knockout rounds and then not losing. So you see really defensive football, and I find that boring.
The only time in recent memory that it wasn't the case was when Spain won the World Cup. That's probably, I think that Spanish team that won the World Cup is the best World Cup team we've ever seen.
There was that 6 year period where they won a Euro, yeah, World Cup
with
Euro.
David Villa and mm-hmm. fucking Fernando Iniesta. Torres. Iniesta. I mean, that is the best World Cup team I think that's ever existed. But it was a fluke. It was a total fluke.
And Giorgio, Messi, this is his last World Cup, he said today.
Hey, he's old.
Yeah, he's old, right?
He's never been particularly good in fucking international play. That's kind of been the drag on him. But
and Argentina's had so much talent, like yeah. just some of the best players.
But they
in
never
the
play together.
They did make one World Cup final.
Yeah, but all those Argentina guys, like most of the really good players on Argentina's team play in the South American leagues. They don't play in the fucking European leagues like he has his whole career.
So again,
they never fucking play.
Yeah, who wins here, guys?
I think.
Who wins
France.
It all?
We go back to back.
We'll start with Giorgio first. Who you got, Giorgio?
France.
I would have said France. Benzema's out, so we really need Mbappe to step up. Benzema's out with an injury right now, who's their leading striker. I've got
Benzema
soft,
was always on the cusp. He wasn't even supposed to be on the roster.
Well, he's because he sat out for a bunch of years during that whole underage prostitute scandal with the French national team.
Which happens.
And I don't know.
Netherlands is really good.
I'd say Germany. Germany's the team to look out for this year, to be honest.
It's got to be somebody that's done it before. So Brazil and Argentina are the favorites. No way Argentina's going to win. Argentina's not going to win the World Cup.
They never do.
No.
Like, I mean, Brazil does every once in a while, but it's all those teams, I feel like, are always the favorites aside from, like, Germany.
Brazil stacked. Neymar's, what, 30 now? Mm. So yeah. He's got that.
He's washed up.
Grizzled. He's washed.
He's in his LeBron years.
Yeah. Dude, soccer is like tennis used to be, where you hit 30 and you're just fucking dead.
I have a ticket right now, 6-1, France to win the World Cup.
Okay, because a lot of people have asked. So you
Mbappe,
got France.
I got France, Mbappe. The only thing that concerns me is they are French. So like if the slightest thing goes wrong,
they may surrender.
They will self-destruct.
Yeah.
I heard somebody call them the Brooklyn Nets of soccer,
which is probably
a pretty apt comparison. They have all the talent in the world, but you know they can hate each other.
Yeah,
D'Anthony, who you got?
I mean, I would say even without Benzema, I would say France is probably the favorite, just for all the reasons that they've said. They have these guys actually play together a lot more than some of the other teams,
mm-hmm.
And they've won before relatively recently, I guess. What was it, 2006? Or when the fuck did France?
Well, they won in 98 when they hosted.
Yes.
And they also...
They just won the World Cup.
One, yeah.
Yeah, they won the last one, right?
Yeah.
So
they beat Croatia.
But I think the Netherlands have a good shot. It's always like the Netherlands is like they're the dark horse team and one out of every three World Cups because they've always got a lot of talent, but they don't play together a lot either.
But they're like the English where they kind of choke. They have all these high expectations, and they never live up to
them. Well, let's see what my bookie says.
Bobathy, who do you got?
I don't even fucking know, dude. I don't pay attention to
this
shit.
Is it coming home?
To what?
Is it coming home?
Is it coming home?
Yeah. So Brazil is plus 330, so 3-1. Argentina is plus 550, 5.5-1.
Yep.
Then England, it's 7.5-1.
I've got England winning it all this year.
It's coming home.
Guys,
France at 8-1.
It's England. It's coming home, dude.
Spain is 990. Germany is 1,100. Netherlands is 1,100.
So I would take a flyer on Uruguay.
No.
Because they're in the fucking weakest group.
But they're going to get through.
Their group is Ghana, South Korea, Portugal, and Uruguay. Like,
Ghana will beat them in that group.
Uruguay is legit.
I thought Ghana's top guy was out.
Uruguay is also the first team to ever win the World Cup.
Your mom was the first team to ever win. 1930s.
They don't have the leaders up top that they used to. I would stay away from England. Both Reece James and Bill Chilwell got injured right before this World Cup. They play a five-back system later on in the tournament. They're not going to have the width at wing-back. They'll qualify. They may make a quarterfinal, but I don't put money on England going through. They have a wealth of attacking talent, but I think when they're up against some of the best guys in the world, they're going to fall short again.
Okay. Bob, pick a country.
You know what?
I need one out of you.
I guess I'm rooting for Qatar to you know, keep it at home.
There it is. Slavery. It's rooting for slavery.
Yeah. I mean, like you said on the podcast last night, like, I guess if you're going to do it, make them have done it for something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Makes people die for your sins. I like it.
Like, cheat.
Yeah. Do something. What, well, like,
how are you going to lose to Ecuador 2-0?
Well, hang on. Allegedly. And again, I'm going to say allegedly.
It should have been 3-0, to be honest.
There was a scheme behind the scenes where allegedly Qatar was trying to pay off players from Ecuador to lose 1-0.
Just the first game.
Just the first game, $8.4 million. So
I kind of respect Ecuador. Ecuador is the only country that's come out and stood up for something.
Sure did. Maybe they might win it all.
They might die, though.
England. Yeah. Craigers in the chat just threw us $100 at Iowa versus Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. I'll take this a step further, Craig. If it is, because you're rich now, I'll go with you. Just me and you. Nobody else. I will go with you. I'll wear an Ohio State jersey. You wear an Iowa one. I need tickets on the 50, though, on club level, obviously. And you and I will have a date to that Big Ten Championship game, okay? Is that fair, Craigers? Gollin's been thrown down. You're rich now. I know you got it. So let's fucking party. If Iowa ends up making it after this catastrophe, let's go all in. Now we're going to switch to the NBA. 76ers. Every single person is out for their team.
Okay.
It's over.
It's not.
It is.
It's November.
Embiid is out. It's Harden is out.
Half the league makes the playoffs.
Maxey is now out for what? 3 months?
Okay.
He's out for 3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks.
Not three months.
Okay. And it's really just, I think it's more precautionary. He got a high ankle sprain because he stepped on somebody's foot.
Make the playoffs. That's all you got to do.
What about the Warriors here? Any concern from these guys?
No, actually, I'll tell you what. I watched that game last night. And for the first time since 2019, I saw Klay Thompson playing basketball.
He was amazing.
Holy fucking shit.
I watched that game too.
Not just, he scored 41 points, hit 10 threes. That's only half. The defense that he played was immaculate the entire game. So it feels like he's getting his legs back under him, and God fucking forbid that happens.
Basketball that people care about in November, college basketball.
Yeah.
Virginia might be legit.
Virginia is back.
Virginia might be back.
And also,
look, wouldn't they win 2018 or 19? What year was it?
2019. Right before COVID.
And by the way,
that was the worst national championship in the history of basketball.
It was like a 53-50 final.
Against Tech?
They. I don't think they broke 60 points throughout the entire.
Both those teams
I think you're
play.
Forgetting one of the Butler Natties.
That was when both teams shot like 25%.
Well, Butler lost in the national championship.
It was the UConn Butler one.
But Butler lost.
Virginia won 85-77 in that last game. It was
they can kind of score now.
It was the final.
They figured out offense.
Boy,
yeah. I mean, they're still going to play that pack line defense, long possession shit. I will say this though, and I hate to give Chris Phelan an ounce of happiness, but Texas is legit.
Beat Gonzaga.
Beat the shit
Soft
out of
Soft ass Gonzaga team.
Soft ass Gonzaga, who just turned around and beat Kentucky.
I know, but
Kentucky's
overrated.
Kentucky sucks. No,
Kentucky's
man.
Not overrated.
They
Kentucky
are.
Is just poorly coached.
Oh my God.
He's the best.
He's
the
best recruiter out there.
Yes. Terrible
not a good coach.
Coach. Yes.
I agree. I don't
X's
think
X's and O's not a good coach.
The one that I think you should be worried about after the first week here, Michigan State has played the top four teams in the nation.
They do this every year.
It's unbelievable. And like
Izzo just tries to pick off one or two wins. So at the end of the year, when they're kind of like borderline on the bubble,
I wanted to ask
they
you
could
about
just
that.
Be like, oh yeah, no, they have a quality win against Kentucky.
Yeah, they have a quad one win and a crazy good schedule.
When you start
like losses
that, though,
don't matter. When you lose to like those top tier teams, they don't matter.
No, they don't matter. And to me, it's impressive. Like every fucking night they're on, I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're playing another top five team.
Murder's Row, yeah.
It's unbelievable to watch. I watched two Gonzaga games this year. I think they're soft. I don't think they're going to...
They don't have, like, Suggs. They don't have the athletes that they had backing up fucking homeboy before.
You still have Timmy, who's just...
Drew Timmy is, like,
whatever.
65 years old, man.
He might win, like, player of the year, but he's not going to get you deep in the tournament.
No.
He's also never going to be an impact player in the NBA, I don't think.
No, he's going to be over in Turkey.
But neither's Chet Holmgren, right? Like, he hasn't even fucking...
He'll
dribbled,
never play.
He hasn't dribbled a basketball in an NBA court yet.
Right. Nope. Well, right. Embiid didn't for, like, his first 3 years either. So.
You're comparing
still not
Chet
now.
Holmgren to Joel Embiid.
And he's not
Seriously.
Playing now. Embiid's not playing now either. So, it's going to be a long... history of injury after injury, no championships.
Just because Holmgren was trying to bring it to LeBron in a meaningless basketball game.
Yeesh. He scored one basket and he was out
Chet
forever.
Holmgren is dead. Going to be on an all-defensive NBA
yeah,
team.
Chet, sure isn't. Oh my God, we're, gonna, dude. We're early on. We're going to buy Chet Holmgren stock at its all-time low.
If, yeah. If he's spent the last year he's been injured bulking up, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Right.
The length alone is just... It's going to be like, dude, Bull.
Yeah, Sean Bradley was a perennial all-star.
You know the difference between...
Get the fuck out of here,
exactly,
man.
Dude. Do you know the difference between Chet Holmgren and Greg Abbott?
Are you seeing the people that are coming
out... One's a governor. The other two are going to be in wheelchairs the rest of their lives.
Have you seen the dude that's coming out of France next year? Who's like 7'3" and has handles and can shoot?
Yeah,
and...
that guy looks great. He's like...
Where are they creating these guys?
I don't know.
Essentially, they just... it was just for the longest time that no one would let them dribble. Right? It was like, no, you get in the middle, tall boy. And then, like, Kevin Durant lied about his height all the time because he knew they'd try to make him just some fucking post player.
Yeah. He always lies that he's not as tall as he is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, I'm 6'9".
Yeah.
No, you're not.
6'11".
Because he
Victor Wembanyama.
So everybody is tanking in the draft to try to get this kid on their team right now.
Because he's tall as shit. He's got handles.
He's draining threes. That kid does everything.
He's Giannis and Durant had a baby.
Yeah. Texas looks great. They're number four.
He can also shoot.
Texas looks great at four. Michigan State is looking pretty good this year so far. Creighton just won right now against Texas Tech at the Maui. Invitational's
Maui
on.
This weekend.
Guess who's on tonight? The Ohio State
against
University.
San Diego State. They're going to lose.
Tough game. Yeah, San Diego State's ranked number 17.
Favored by 4.5.
They are. Who do you got in that one?
With the points, I'll take Holtman. I'll take Ohio State with the points.
Same.
I think San Diego State wins the game, but it'll be a basket.
Same. Buckeyes have this kid named Bryce Sensabaugh, who is the number 18th recruit in the nation. He looks billed just as that. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. So I got the Buckeyes with the points. I'm not going money line. No. I'll take the 4.5 on that one. And that's where my money goes. I enjoy all of these big college basketball teams playing each other early on in the season. It makes it fun real quick where you're just
team
like, oh, shit, I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm in it. Who do you guys have to win it all this year?
I'm going to repeat my pick from last year and take Texas.
I'm going to go... with the team I already put money on to win, Illinois.
Who's on Illinois?
Shannon, the transfer from Texas Tech.
I was going to say, because right now they're number 16 in the country. Who jumps out at you that goes from 16 to 1 there?
Well, keep in mind, being ranked 16 right now, let's say they have a good season.
Means you're a four seed.
But let's say you have a good season in the Big Ten. Maybe you get into the top 12, top 8. Then you're a 3 or a 2 seed, and it's totally... That's totally normal to win a national championship.
They got rid of all the their guys that are kind of problematic, like Kofi, Egon.
Yeah.
Like all these like head cases. So I think Illinois got talent now without
still have, like,
the Curbelo. Drama.
Do they still have Curbelo or
no?
He's gone too.
And they've got a good coach there at Illinois.
Underwood's good.
Yeah. It's not gonna be sexy, but North Carolina, everybody came back. I thought that team was great last year. I got to see two games. March Madness, I took my kid to one of them. I think we were all at another one. Everybody came back from that team. I know it's not a sexy pick, but God damn it, man. I picked them to win last year, and they were this close. They were, a half away before they got exhausted. I think North Carolina is too dominant. I got
Kansas. Although North Carolina would be my second pick.
Okay.
For all the reasons you said, they're super athletic, and this is their second year together.
Are you all about Dick? At Kansas?
They rebound better than any team in the country. And they've had, like, even in their wins lately, they've not shot the ball well, but they're typically a good shooting team. If you rebound in college basketball and shoot well, it's hard to beat you if you're a fucking
You're
going to
love this kid. They have a white kid named Dick.
Yeah.
That is just baby face assassin.
Great white
against,
Dick.
Against Duke, man, like, they...
Grady Dick.
They
Grady
beat
Dick.
They beat Duke, and like they just played.
Duke's not
they,
very good.
They
this year.
Had a lot of fire, though. I mean, like, that Kansas team was aggressive. Like, they just fucking attacked.
It's like when you, if you're looking at a hockey team in the playoffs, there's two things you're looking for. One is a good forecheck, which is a forecheck is when you're in your offensive zone, the defensive team has the puck, and you're trying to get it away from them. That's one typical indicator of success. The other one is like your goalie's hot. You can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking about, their aggressiveness on the boards like that and attacking the basket, man, that's what made that Gonzaga team with Suggs and those guys back in the day so good.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily – like, Suggs was a better athlete than anybody. But Chet Holmgren is what it is, right? I'll give him credit. In college, he was good. Drew Timmy's a good player. but they didn't have the talent that some of those other teams had, but they were fucking relentless.
Yeah.
All the time, especially because of Suggs. That's what this Kansas team looks like to me right now. Although if North Carolina won, I wouldn't be surprised.
No. Should be a fun season. Again, you can bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. All the odds are up for college basketball.
I will
college
say,
college basketball show will be starting soon.
We kind of forget what Caleb Love was before he went on that run in that game against Duke.
Mm-hmm.
He can heat check pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he forgets. Like, he'll just fire shots like no one's business.
Doesn't care. He doesn't care.
And he'll miss a lot.
I'm not going to have you disparage my fellow Christian Brother alumnus, all right?
Okay.
He's an elite four. I mean, he's just like a good college player. He's like a 4-star.
Who do you have winning, Bob?
Texas.
Oh, you got Texas.
Wait, you're talking about Caleb Love?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the Jalen Suggs of this season, right? Probably.
No.
Suggs was a lottery pick.
You don't think he's going to be... I mean, Love is only a sophomore, right?
No, he's a junior, I think.
Oh, shit. Okay.
By the way, I've not been to a basketball game inside Texas's new stadium. Moody. Moody's been open.
It was hype for the Gonzaga game.
Really?
Yeah, they got up for it. I don't think I've ever seen a stadium, a Texas basketball game that excitable.
I am a big fan of that arena. We've only seen concerts and UFC fights there so far. I haven't seen a basketball game.
They probably went down to the border, got some migrants to come in and be fans.
It's great. Yeah. They weren't on campus.
Just like in Qatar, most of them died.
Yeah.
They're all Indonesian slaves, basically.
RIP.
Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com tonight for the 49ers Cardinals game or the Ohio State San Diego State game. I'm all in on that. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco, Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.